train the workforce of tomorrow. We've forgotten about our high school students for whatever reason, and you could point the blame at a school or budget cuts. It doesn't matter. The reason, the fact of the matter is we're not doing enough to engage them and show them a pathway into our industry.
This is The Art of Construction with your host, Devin Tilley, and co-host, Kevin Keith. Devin has built a multi-7-figure business in the construction industry, selling windows, doors, and hardware over the past 13 years. Devin's passion for helping those around him led him to create the Art of Construction informational platform, a part of which is a fireside chat podcast with industry professionals all focused on how they apply art in their business and construction projects. Grown to an audience of over 100,000, Devin shares his strategies for what he has accomplished and creates insightful conversations with industry leaders. This is The Art of Construction, featuring your host, Devin Tilley, and co-host, Kevin Keith.
Need help? Well, let's talk about it. Tribe, everywhere I go, it's right now, it's in the labor shortages. We can sit on the sidelines and talk about it, or we can jump up and do something about it. I'm so jazzed to have Michael Smith coming in and tell us about, he's been at this since 2011, building the labor force in the for the construction industry and doing a bunch of cool stuff that we're going to talk about. And as awesome Mike Rowe in the industry has done so much for the trades, and he talks about alternatives, and I loved how off-air he talked to us before getting on saying, why not both? Make them equal, because, hey, if you learn how to use a tape measure, do you think that will ever go away?
No, absolutely. And through his structure of the Colorado Home Building Academy, all that comes together where you end up with people that are going to be working in a productive manner going forward that's going to help the industry quite a bit. So,
all right, well, let's go on a journey and have some fun and talk labor to the construction industry with Michael.
Here we go.
What's your favorite beverage?
Glass of red wine.
Ah, oh, nice. I think that's what I'm going to have tonight. What's your favorite, what's one wine that comes to mind?
I'm cheap, so I just find the typical table wine, Pinot Noir or Merlot or so.
There you go. Cool. Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
Caribbean. I think while the Caribbean islands are wonderful and they're gorgeous, certainly I think we all need to be visiting again to help that economy after the devastation that they've received. But it wasn't about the place, it was about the trip. It was the first cruise I took with my wife, and she learned that a cruise ship is great for me because my Wi-Fi and cell phone doesn't work.
That's great. It's kind of setting it up to make sure it works for everybody.
Exactly.
Right?
So now we have a cruise scheduled every year.
Awesome.
There you go.
That's great. Well, what's your favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction arena?
You know, it's interesting because I don't do a lot more outside of it. I think it's great when some people understand and live and enjoy a 9-to-5 job, but when you have a passion for the work that I think we all do that bleeds well past 5 o'clock, if I'm not doing something related to the work that I'm engaged in, it'll either be sailing on a nearby lake or playing around with golf.
Awesome. Well, give us your story of starting the Colorado Construction Institute and now going into the Colorado Home Building Academy. I'm so jazzed to have you into Studio AOC because talk about a need and a passion for all of us in the art of construction to have a conversation with somebody that's actually doing something about the labor shortage in our market. So let's go on a journey and learn about what you're doing with the Colorado Home Building Academy.
Sure. And as you said, I had started that back in 2011 with the Colorado Construction Institute. And that was a response to really looking at data, talking to some people, even though it was right in the middle, well, towards the end of our Great Depression and our certainly a tough times or dark days for our industry. But if you really looked at it and recognized that the skilled trades were getting older and getting older, and those that we chased out of our industry because of lack of work, it was going to be a hard chance to get them to come back. So we decided at the time to create a workforce development training program, and at the time it was geared towards at-risk youth. And that was because myself and another gentleman had spent a lot of time working with a nonprofit organization and a mentoring program for at-risk youth. And we always said, well, what's next? What happens when you get somebody back on the right track and now they're just off going to do whatever? So how do we create something to not only benefit an industry but benefit a population?
So cool.
So that grew over time because people then came and looked at what we were doing and said, well, that's great you're doing it for at-risk youth, but what about any youth? But moreover, what about adults? So over the years, it started growing. We added on programs. We were lucky enough to have a federally funded program called Youth Build, and there's about 150 of those running around the country, which then it shifted into running programs for adults, which then through leadership over at Oakwood Homes, who had said, but this now advanced the clock up to, I'd say, 2016, the end of 2015 and such. And we started having conversations about how do we do something bigger than just a small nonprofit that's looking to train people. So the beginning of 2017 now, Oakwood Homes, who was in a position to say, we want to do something and we have capital to do it. And, hey, you guys are doing something and don't have capital to keep doing it. So it made a perfect marriage and effectively just merged with a foundation that's underneath Oakwood Homes, where Oakwood gives X amount of dollars per closing to support the work that we're doing, primarily as a catalyst, though. From the very beginning, they recognized this is not an Oakwood solution. This is an industry solution. And how do we catalyze something that the whole market could benefit from?
That's so cool, because that's when I started the Art of Construction. The original logo for the Art of Construction was a window and door company I own here in Colorado called Mountain View Window and Door. And it was this conflict of interest because we were truly trying to change the construction industry and talk from the global perspective of the Art of Construction. And once we took my company, like the focus was not about a little window and door company. It was about, you know, taking the construction industry and what we call the Art of Construction and having these conversations, it gave so much to everything else. And boy, that I'm proud of Oakwood Homes for stepping up and letting you guys accelerate, but not making it an Oakwood Homes training program.
Right. And that's constantly one of the challenges we have in our industry, certainly in our local industry, where sometimes people see this as an Oakwood solution. And every day we have to say, yes, we are very tight with them. We're affiliated with them. They give us funding. They give us space through Precision Building Systems, another one of our partners. But it's always been for the entire industry to take long term.
Awesome. So let's go on a journey and kind of talk through. So fast forward from 2011 to 2018. What are some of the big initiatives that you're doing today? And locally, I got to give kudos to Cheryl Schulte. I've been involved with her from the beginning. And for me, everybody has their what's in it for me. And for me, it was, man, I need more installers for my window and door company. So I was like, how could I go give and help train and figure out to build this community? And so Cheryl is one of your members out telling the story that we've helped with their exit interviews and all this stuff at the school. So let's go on a journey and kind of talk us through the A to Z, how the program works, which is really cool that it's not just for a high school student or just for a stay-at-home mom that I ironically found how many stay-at-home moms are going through your class because they want to get out and try something new, which is really cool when I was doing the exit interviews. So talk us through how the program works at the Colorado Home Building Academy.
Sure. Well, we constantly say, and we talk about it to the industry all the time, two things. One, stop sitting on the sidelines and complaining about a labor problem, start doing something. But that doing something really needs to be two different fronts. We need to not only solve the labor needs of today by hopefully getting unemployed, underemployed people to work in our industry and train them with the skills necessary, but also train the workforce of tomorrow. We've forgotten about our high school students for whatever reason, and you could point the blame at a school or budget cuts. It doesn't matter. The reason, the fact of the matter is we're not doing enough to engage them and show them a pathway into our industry. So within both of those programs or intents, we've got a number of different programs. And we've named all of them. So the first one we'll talk about is Building Pathways. Building Pathways is a goal for us to work with high schools to create construction career pathways. Now, that isn't necessarily easy every time you talk to a high school. We still have a culture that is starting to change, but we still have a culture that says everyone's good to go to college. So our goal then is how do we help that school? How do we help that school contextualize a math class maybe? And why not learn math or learn geometry as it relates to a set of prints or as it relates to creating an estimate or as it relates to what material and how do I construct that wall? And to be able to not only hit the school's goal of teaching to standards, but also benefit our industry by exposing a young person to a career pathway. So that's our Building Pathways model. We have another one that we now work with several schools in three different school districts that we call the Youth Construction Apprenticeship. And everything we do always is that what's next. If we launch a program, we always ask ourselves what's next for that participant. So the what's next for a Building Pathways student in high school logically was, well, you find somebody who says, I love this. I really enjoy working with my hands, or this industry seems really cool. How do we get them more training? So our youth construction apprenticeship is a model where that high school student physically comes to our training facility, starts at 1 day a week. It ends with 3 days a week with 2 days a week in the field. And this is a model where the high school is giving that student credit for all the work-based learning that they're getting in our facility. But at the same time, that student is actually not only getting paid to be in high school, which engages them, keeps them through completion and through graduation, but it gives us an opportunity to truly give over 250 hours of hands-on training to a high school senior that upon graduation, we should have a line out the door of people wanting to hire that person.
That's outstanding. That's so cool that you've put that together to give a high school student a path, you know, put some bucks in their pocket and have something really tangible. We have an internship program at my day-to-day company, and we just did the exit interviews with one of them. And all three of our interns are all staying on after the internship program back to, you got to do something about this. And what one of the answers I got that just blew me away, that we're not giving enough credit to these younger people sometimes, and including myself when I raised my hand. And he's like, I realized by coming to Mountain View, this is a story I can put on my resume that someone's really going to resonate with than just another, you know, accolade that I went through in school. I'm like, Jason, I'm so proud of you for saying that, because you're the one that's going to be in the front of that line when it comes to who's going to hire you. Whether you stay with Mountain View for 30 years or 3 months, that's, I passionately care about you. And man, that comes back around.
Right? Well, and here's an important connection, I think, for our listeners to understand. These are interns that are in architecture school, and most of their peers are doing internships with big firms where their day-to-day duties as an intern is getting donuts and pouring coffee. I mean, it's sad to say, but that's the reality. And so when we presented them an alternative, it wasn't in a path that they initially thought of, because they don't have the big name of a firm that has an architectural background and so forth, and that's what they're studying. However, once they kind of heard what we could provide, they were really interested. And now that they've been on board now for several months, they're continuing to have interest and want to expand that now that they've had a chance to see the real world activity that they never see in class.
And again, it's our job on the Art of Construction, to you architects listening out there, to say,
really,
you're big names. We want to collaborate and work together. And that's one of the things why I started this whole collaboration, is to say, how can we all come together and make these programs where we can come together and put a consistent theme from A to Z so they can see it all, and we can help guide them to put the right person in the right place. Maybe doing coffee and donuts is a good part of the evolution, but you have to understand the why behind everything that we're doing, and that's our job as leaders to paint that picture. So we have PATH is for the high school students, and it's whoever you're what schools you're developing relationships. It's not just for the underprivileged or this just a trade school. It's if there's a school that's interested, how does that work to partner with you guys?
So the first thing happens with a phone call. So it's very common, and this time of year is busy for us as we're planning what the next academic year will be. But we had just yesterday, I had a conversation with two different schools. Next week, I've got two additional schools coming to our site to have a real sit down to say, look, here's our problem, where then the school is articulating what they need for students, what they want to create for a career pathway. We have an opportunity to discuss what our problem is of an industry, which is we need people to come into our industry. So if there is a way to be able to solve both problems at the same time, then a partnership comes out of that. In cool. some cases, it doesn't, and that's okay. But we're not going to sacrifice the quality of we're going to teach just to make a school check a box, if you will.
Yeah.
Is it something that has to be, because one of the challenges sometimes, particularly with the public school process, is it's very bureaucratic, right? So you've got, even if you had somebody at the grassroots level that has an interest, is it something that can be done on a one-off individual school basis, or are you finding that it's something that really has to go through the whole headquarters kind of scenario to get, you know, fully adopted and approved?
Your assessment is 100% correct. So what we've done is exactly what you were suggesting. The first time we were talking to districts, and that takes a long time. We found many, many innovative schools or principals, like a principal out of Wheat Ridge High School who's no longer there, he's retired, but was incredibly innovative to say, I have to do something different. I've got to educate these people in the best way that I know how. And if that means breaking with a trend, I'm going to do it. And we're seeing that leadership, taking a chance, really now resonate with a lot more schools, and they're starting to do the same thing.
That's an important lesson, is all of us leaders have to recognize that the only constant is change. And you're saying, to kind of cut through the red tape, it's back to a relationship. Instead of a bureaucratic check in a box, you're building your program through the right relationships. And that's what we talk about on whoever we talk with.
Well, one of the simple things that you just described earlier about math, you know, a lot of times if kids aren't at the level of, they know they want to be an engineer, they know they want to get into something where math is connected, that's the easy button. Those students know that, but the bulk of the students don't really even understand why they're doing math. And so if you give them a practical application that, even if they don't ultimately end up in the construction trade, but as they see that and they see people that maybe they know in their interactions that are in that, it's a common denominator that allows them to do better in math, you know, to focus on it, and then ultimately go forward from there.
You're 100% correct, and that's what our goal is how do we meet the teacher where they need to be met in order to instruct that student to the competencies that the Department of Education or school district has outlined. But that can be done while contextualizing it and making it purposeful for a student. If we're lucky that purpose then becomes a new person coming into our industry, we did our job. At the high school level with our building pathways, we know our conversion rate. When I say conversion, that's a student who just exposed to construction actually gets a job. That's low. But if we do nothing, it's going to stay at zero.
Right. And I don't think the goal should be everybody goes into that. Your job is creating awareness and putting the right person in the right place. And in high school, they want to try everything, and they should, because they're in the space where they got to go figure that out. So it's one touch point for us to try. I love your comment of going out and doing something about it, right? So what are some of the other things that you're doing as far as teach construction is another thing I've read about that looks really cool. When we've been kind of talking more of the, you know, local Denver school, but the industry, I travel around from the Art of Construction, and boy, it's the hot button everywhere you go. And some of the awesome people out there that are doing something about it, like Josh Munns is building this construct school that is really cool. How do we come together and make all of us work together stronger?
Well, it's funny you brought it up. We've been running our program for a while. We've gotten a lot of media. We have a lot of people that have started turning and looking at what we're doing. And that turn and look has turned into a phone call and, can I come visit? And we've had HBAs from multiple states come in. We've had schools from multiple states. We're working with a community college out of Houston. We've had multiple national builders, and these are large production and mostly public builders, come and fly in and say, what's going on? What are you doing? Because it sounds like it's working. So what happened in almost every one of those meetings that we went through our entire program of what we do for high schools, what we do for out-of-school youth, what we do for adults or local colleges, and you would have the same look on someone's face, and they would quietly ask for that instructional content that we're showing at the table, or saying, this is how we do it, and this is how we teach a tool, which leads to this skills exercise, which leads to this build, the whole pedagogy for education in a project-based environment. And they said, well, gee, I wish I had that. And they would constantly say, I wish I had something like that, which has turned into if I have it, and we were created with industry funds, we were created with nonprofit funds, I think we have a responsibility to share it. We don't want to be that program that says, I've got a great secret sauce and where no one's going to be able to have it. We're only going to have those who pay for it. And that's not our message. Our message became, how do we share everything we've been doing to benefit our entire industry? So we launched something we're calling Teach Construction Initiative. The word teach was started as an acronym, but it became a mouthful, but it really stands for Technical Education Assistance for Careers in Home Building. And that was a lot to say. So we added the word construction and say, now we always refer to it as the Teach Construction Initiative. And the real big message to that is, we're willing to give away the content we have. Stop buying expensive textbooks. Stop buying expensive licenses for curricula. Those are great because they have nationally recognized certification behind it. And if that's what you need, that's fantastic. But in many cases, you're still missing the what do I teach on a given day? How does that relate to the competencies that my school board is making me teach to, or my industry competency for adult training program? But more importantly, what do I do every day? What is that lesson plan? So that's what we're offering to the marketplace, to say, if we work together, we can do a heck of a lot more than just working independently.
So I'm curious on that. Is that Teach Construction focused on other nonprofits that want to do kind of a similar thing that you're doing? And does it also have a component where you might have a public builder in a different market that can grab something and run with that? So talk a little bit about how that
works. So my simple answer to that is yes. But the intent for the Teach Construction Initiative is to take anybody who is in either doing training today and wants to do it better, or enhance it in some fashion, or somebody that says, I want to do this, but I'm not really sure where to start. So that could be a nonprofit, very much like we are. It could be a school. It could be a university or college. And the intent is, if we all have instructional content, and we all do, why not share that? Why not share business models? Why not share funding models? Let's get everybody to be able to be stronger. I say often, if a local program, a mid-sized program, might be able to do 100 to 300 people in a year that they're training or graduating. Well, if we can help stand up or support 100 of those programs, now you're looking at 10,000 people, maybe even 30,000 people. That's what our industry needs. It doesn't need competitiveness going on just because we're a training program.
Awesome. So the next thing I want to talk about, I'm going to tell a story going back several years when the bifold doors and the indoor-outdoor living space was really taking off to the masses. And I just took my phone and I demonstrated the new Anderson bifold door system and put it up on YouTube. And it's just me demonstrating how that. And it was, the thought process was, you know, more internal than anything. And what happened, it just started taking off. And it was like 4,000 views on this thing. And I'm getting calls and to the front desk from all over the country. And this is pre the Art of Construction. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. Like, when you find something that people want, that there isn't enough resources out there, how fast and organically something can grow. And fast forward now to today, there's so much noise with social media and video and all those things out there that you have to have, you know, really good story and really good action plan behind that. But we were honored to be one of the supply chains that got to work with you guys on the Discover Home Building program. So tell us what that's about with the video and what you were doing on these partnerships.
It's a really cool initiative that we're working on, and I do have to give acknowledgement to our state of Colorado. State of Colorado legislature appropriated X amount of dollars 3 years ago to help vocational training programs, and I'm going to use the word vocational training even though schools shy away from it. But the goal was, how do we help these programs do recruitment and outreach? And so we have two main things when it comes to recruitment and outreach. One is messaging that our industry has great jobs, and two is, how do we get you into those jobs? So the Discover Building Careers website really is a tool that we're using to get people to watch small videos. There's only 10 of them on there right now, but we're adding about 16 more this year. One of those being the one we just shot with your organization.
Awesome. So what's the goal? Like, what are you going to see on those videos? Paint the picture to get someone to go to the website and check them out.
So the goal of those videos is, it's really the intended viewer would be someone saying, what is a job in heavy machinery, or what's a job in excavating, what's a job in windows? And we want that video to be able to show what a day in the life of that person would be, whether it be a channel partner, as in your situation, whether it be someone using a big heavy loader doing land prep, or is it a framer, or it's a roofer, it could be a plumber, electrician. We want them to understand what happens there, and then we do an interview with somebody who is doing that work and their supervisor. Because the biggest message we want anybody considering jobs in construction to recognize is, your first job doesn't have to be your only job. Don't come into our industry, be disenchanted with that one job, or saying, I don't want to be a laborer forever. That's fantastic, because we don't want you to either. We want you to become a carpenter, or to become an installer, and become a business owner if that's where you want to go.
Awesome.
I think that's really critical, because when you think about it in construction, there's a lot of activity. There are a lot of parts that go into the finished product, but if you're not near it and you don't see it, you have no idea what's involved. So when you have an opportunity to look at these videos and say, that's what I want to do, that's the first, that's the beginning of the process, right?
Yeah, you don't know what you don't know, and that's our job here on the Art of Construction is to connect all those dots and be that umbrella or overarching megaphone that pulls down into those niche businesses that all come together to make all the links of the chain all circle to help someone make their house a home and something that you're proud of both for your career as well as the person that's going to open the door and hand over the keys to.
And our construction industry is good or bad, it's set up of multiple layers, multiple subs of subcontractors, but that provides a low barrier of entry for a new entrepreneur. But what also happens is that that person who's literally doing the work, literally installing that window or doing the flat work on a porch, they're not the ones that are out there recruiting in this level. We've got to do that in partnership with them. And so part of this intent is not only how do we cut out some of the noise that's out there online and how many videos in different areas and to condense that, but it's to just give a message that these jobs are great.
Totally. And, you know, to be a plumber, an electrician, those trades are so needed. They've really become high tech in this smart home world to where there's a lot of really cool stuff. When you think of the plumber's crack, there's a lot more to it than that. You know, there's amazing things happening in that world of all these different trades. And so give us maybe a couple segments. Walk us through your school like I've physically done to where I see, you know, like a concrete section. They make the tables. Tell them about the evolution of, you know, learning how to cut straight and angle to then making a table at the end. That's just really cool.
It's a great introduction to our adult programs. So our adult programs are an 8-week long training program that are all skills based. The first 6 weeks, you start learning the basic skills. Then you would choose another 2 weeks. You might focus on carpentry or electrical or plumbing or finish trades. But what we've done is we set up our shop to do exactly that. So we've got a classroom, we've got training stations, and then we have build areas. So you're going to start in the classroom. You're going to have to learn about what our industry is, learn about some of those key tools. The first one's a tape measure and your brain and a pencil and a set of plans. It all starts there. Then we go out into the lab and you're going to learn how to do, we spend a huge amount of time working on what we call skills exercises. We don't just say, here's a miter saw, here's the blade, don't put your finger on the blade and go, let's go build something. We're going to spend time with very defined exercises, a set of shop drawings, for lack of a better term, that says you're going to cut your first cut in an inch. Your next cut's going to be 2 1/4. And the measurements get progressively more difficult. We'll also throw in their math. So now you're going to have your next cut is be an inch and a half plus an eighth. So give me that and make sure that we're pulling the measurement from the right side of the board so your kerf is taken care of. You know, giving that the skills exercises. And then, and only then, do we shift on to build exercises. So now you have the basic skills from the classroom, you understand drawings, you've done your skills exercises with a myriad tools. Now it's time to put all of that together and build a 3D reality of what was on a 2D piece of paper.
Well, I think it's interesting, too. You talked about starting with the tape measure, not making any presumptions ahead of time that there's a skill set or a knowledge base. You're starting at the very bottom level. I'm sure you're accelerating quickly, but you're making sure also that they understand the tools, understand all the, you know, the basic things before you advance. Whereas in the real world, I would imagine, meaning, you know, the previous scenario of learning on the job, a lot of times they might bump out because they're thrown into a situation where they're learning or being forced to learn in an accelerated pace that they can't keep up with because they didn't have the basics.
That's one of the key reasons we have such high turnover for entry-level people starting in construction. Because we as an industry, we throw them to the wolves. We know right. We do it. And we even say things like, well, we're going to push on the new guy, see if he breaks and see if he can make our crew. It's insane. We're trying to get new people. Why don't we really support them? But yes.
I have to tell a story. My first job, and I was in Grand Junction going to college, and that summer I've always been fascinated with construction, so I'm like, well, I want to, for the summer, I'm going to join a framing crew and learn how to frame houses. And the first day on the job, I get there, and they're like, just go pick up all the trash. That was my direction. And then the second day, they're like, go over to those sawhorses. We're going to have you cut the I-joists. And first thing I did is I cut the cord on the saw, and the foreman almost threw me off there, so then he had to go fix the saw. And then I didn't do the, it was, you know, this is the floor joists that are expensive TGIs. And then I cut it, and I cut from the wrong end, and I cut it 2 foot too short. So then they had to get it delivered out, you know, a new set out there. And I'm like, I was terrified. And I lasted a month because I have a hard time, and I just kept. And finally, I was like, but looking back on that, it wasn't me. It was them. Like, day two to do that stuff with zero training. Right. And then I was so scared of construction because I'm just this, you know, freshman in college thinking, you know, I'm going to learn how construction works. And in fact, I was so threatened. And that's the old good old boy back in the day. There's a lot of those crusty contractors, as we talk about. So this is a non-threatening environment to go from step one to two to three instead of going right to whatever they need done that day is a reactionary business.
Yeah, it's funny that you say good old days. Unfortunately, that still happens today.
Totally.
And that's why we do the work that we do it and how we do it. You don't move past that tool, that cut, that saw.
You're never coming back.
You're leaving the industry, but in our training, you don't graduate that skill set.
Not everybody. I'm still here.
Well, yeah. But we make sure you don't graduate that skill set until you can consistently measure, mark, and cut to within a 16th of an inch. And when you can, great, let's move on to the next tool. So that exact scenario that you gave doesn't happen,
right?
Is our goal.
And that's what I try to bring for our students listening. We have a big tribe of students because I think I resonate to them and they resonate to the art of construction because it's hard. And if you don't get the right, you know, if you don't get the right lessons, you don't learn and you just go on to something else and you just go back behind your computer that you get these bad connotations of the millennials that don't have any interest of getting out in front of their computer. That's not true at all. This student, Jason, who I was so proud of when he did his presentation for us in the real world before he went and did it for his school, before us even saying, he's like, I've learned so much behind the computer, but I want to get out there and use my hands and learn it now. And it was just magical sitting in the room, seeing all my leadership team. Like, we were thinking, well, how are we going to get him to want to go do that? It happened organically by properly getting them to step with step one, step two, and it's a different world now. So the millennials really understand technology and the computer. So that part's easy for them. Crusty contractor, they're scared of that. So you have to reverse the evolution or the training path, in my point of view. And now our students could maybe go to your class and do that next step. And that's the partnerships that I think we're all going to be much stronger by thinking that way.
You know, it's great that you talk that way, and I'm really proud of one of our schools here. So University of Denver has a pretty strong construction management program, but it's right in their business school. So it's a lot of land development side, real estate and construction management. But they've made a big change this year. And Professor Holt over there is new to the school and making some great changes. But what they do now is with the students' materials and systems class, they come to our facility once a week for a quarter. And instead of just learning what plywood is by a picture on the wall or a CMU or any other, you talked about a TJI before, they're actually using those tools, that material and tools in our lab, doing cuts just like your story of earlier. So even though that construction manager graduate, when they're working in the field, they are never going to put a door in as part of their job, but they should know how to do it, or at least walk, let's say, maybe let's take the old metaphor, walk a mile in somebody else's shoes. Maybe they're walking 100 yards in a contractor's shoes, but we hope that's going to make a lot better working relationship when these young people are in the field as a working CM. That they once used tools, they got it. It's not as good as coming out of the trades. I respect that. But since that's not an option sometimes, there's a great opportunity to get some hands-on training for a student.
No, that's a critical component in construction and development is the collaboration between all the different trades and all the professional services. And one of the things that we've spoken about here on the Art of Construction frequently is the disconnect sometimes between some of those professional trades and the, you know, the on-the-job or the boots-on-the-ground kind of workers, and those that are able to bridge that gap, whether it be companies, individuals, and that kind of thing, it works the best because everybody, you get down to business quicker, you get results quicker, and there's a lot less tension between the different groups because one group thinks they know everything and the other group thinks these guys don't know anything. The reality is you're all on the same team, and it works much better when you have a clear understanding of what some of those pieces really, really look like.
All right, students, I'm going to give you my secret sauce. and you learn by doing. And when Peyton Manning won the Super Bowl for the Broncos, go Broncos, and he was audible and doing all that stuff, it wasn't because he just jumped out on the field and didn't know anything. He learned by doing, and he put in the 10,000 hours, as they say. And the key to the art of construction is beginning with the end in mind and to see a construction project and understand what is behind the scenes or what's in the wall without actually having to tear it out. That is the key to the art of construction. And that's how the world of computers and the world of doing and the offsite construction and all these things coming together, it's understanding how everything, the pieces come together. And I'd say you never lose touch of the handshake, and that pencil and that pen and that tape measure can be a lot of different things, but that's where it all starts. And your job is to accelerate that and put in the time to put in that 10,000 hours to see behind the wall that you're standing in front of. Wouldn't you say that is the key, what we're trying to do as leaders to the industry?
I would, and I love the metaphor of being and seeing inside the wall. And yes, with BIM, with other technologies, with 3D technologies, you can virtually see. But you know, trust us, the successful people are the ones who have once put their hand on the 2x4 or touched a piece of Simpson hardware while you're dropping a joist into a floor. If you can know it, feel it, you can communicate it much better.
Awesome. So in closing, if there's one thing you want the Art of Construction, our educational platform, to grow their business, this is all about growing your business in the world of in the people business of trying to get more. What's that one thing of you living and talking with all of these people on doing something about trades in the art of construction?
The biggest thing is anytime I sometimes talk to people, whether it be a builder or a supplier, and say, well, we have a labor problem, often I get the response, well, that's not my problem because we don't do the building. You know, we contract it to somebody else. That's my contractor's problem. I look at it this way. Contractors have raised their rates. They're working 6 days a week. I know many of them that have just bought a new boat, and they're deciding the communities or the companies they want to do the work for. Now, you builders aren't getting houses built on time. Your cycle times have gone up, and your warranty costs have gone up. Some of the supply side, you're not selling as much product as you could if more houses were going in or more being remodeled. So I say, whose problem really is it? It's the landowner's problem. It's the builder's problem. It's the supply side's problem. It's the bank for writing mortgages. The only person who doesn't have a problem, it's the contractor. Yes, they want to grow, but they're also making money. It's everybody else that really is constrained by this.
Well said. We're so proud of you for taking the initiative and being a leader in something that is so needed in our industry. And, you know, from the Teach program to everything you've done, what a leader in the industry, and we're honored to have you as part of the tribe.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the time to come out and talk.
You bet. So much wealth of knowledge and such a resource. It's so cool right here where the Art of Construction Global Studios are at, here in Denver, Colorado, making changes through the Colorado Home Building Academy. And we're such big fans of what they're doing over there. And we talked about so many of their cool things, from Discover Home Building with the videos and the Teach Construction and all these awesome things that you'll see on our show notes, or they have a great website and platform. But they also, I love how he's always saying what's next. So they have a construction management program. They have closeout classes. They have code classes. They have all these things that, how do you eat an elephant?
One bite at a time.
So here's the place, man. So go check it out. We all need help, and either you're growing or you're dying. And I'm a student of the game, learning every day. And what a great platform for a student within the art of construction.
And the awesome thing, too, is that it's getting national attention. And people from other places are saying, hey, what are you doing? How's this working? And so now they've created this Teach Construction platform to be able to give them kind of the starter kit to go do it on their own. And so it's sharing ideas. And then you've got somebody who is in private enterprise, being Oakwood Homes, that's helping, you know, helping them get off the ground, and yet not saying it's exclusive to Oakwood Homes. They recognize that it's got to be, you know, utilized on a broad basis. But they wanted to get involved and to kick it off. And you know, kudos to them and all the others that are getting involved and getting this thing going. So,
yeah, and I'll close, Tribe, with a testimonial for them, because, and I love bringing our day-to-day from our little window and door company to this global perspective, and what we're building at the Tribe here is that I'm truly a testimonial to say, you know, given you will get, you know, Cheryl Schulte and the team over there, you know, they say they give you a unique opportunity to hone your skills and connect with industry employers. That's real stuff, Tribe. And that's the thing of, you know, they have, there's going to be videos that you can go see that they worked with my window and door company, and just so easy to work with. And that's what it's all about. And make it easy for, and step by step. So real world hands-on approach, learning directly from industry experts. Get on the fast track to a job. If you're interested, this is something that they can never take away from you. So get involved, whether you're on the leadership side or a student. We're all students of the game, right?
Absolutely.
Hey, Tribe, I'm so passionate about this tribe that we're building and just want to say thanks for listening. And as the Go-Giver, maybe you can give me something back. If you liked what you heard today, do us a favor and head over to iTunes and give us a review. It's really how the podcasting world grows their business. And that's what we're all about here. This helps to get the podcast in front of people looking to grow their business. We want to hear what you want more of. This is for you, contractors and architects, to grow your business. Talk to you on the next one, Tribe.